international detective dragons from outer space.
Hello and welcome, or welcome back to International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. I'm Anum5, and thank you very much for downloading and listening to Episode 60. The topic for this installment is roundup and recap of all shows since Episode 41, and that will be delivered in high-speed chipmunk style when we get to it. But also, in this show, we hear from Andros in Florida and Ben from the podcast The Absolute Peach. No need to pack a lunch for this episode. It's going to be a short voyage, but a pleasant one, I hope so. Clap onto the sheet and haul up the mizzen, or we'll miss the tide. Fear grips me. Fear. Fear and humidity. What are you afraid of? What's fear? Why fear, Anum? I don't know. Fear of turning on the microphone and having nothing to say. That's every podcaster. What's new? What's different? How many times are you going to bring this one up? It's very unprofessional of you. I hope you know it's very unprofessional of you. Well, it's better than just sitting here with the fan blowing on my face, which, by the way, I had to turn off. I am sitting in a closed room with not just one dog now, but two. There's two doggies in here, neither one of whom are giving me much of a hard time, which is good. That's a good thing. The other one has been for her six-week re-evaluation after her surgery. And while I'm at it, why don't I just throw this in. Here's 56 seconds of audio that I probably shouldn't use.
It feels really good. It feels nice and stable. I mean, there's a lot of scar tissue there, and so...
Is that why it's so fat?
That's why it's so fat, exactly. Okay. And, you know, that's really what the procedure does, is it kind of keeps the leg stable so that the scar tissue can form. And ultimately, that piece of material that we put in there will be stretched out or non-functional. It'll be the scar tissue that helps her leg stay comfortable.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so now the next step is over the next week to 2 weeks, we really start doing things slowly. We start taking her for walks. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be hard in a dog that wants to go because she doesn't understand. It still needs to be kind of rehabilitated at this point. What you've been doing so far is perfect. Keeping her quiet, pulling your hair out, making, you know, things crazy, frustrating her. But that was essential so that this scar tissue could form.
Yeah. Mm.
And now what we try to do is then reestablish the normal range of motion in the leg and the flexibility in the leg.
There we have a prime example, not only of not beginning the show correctly, but using audio simply because you have it instead of considering whether you should use it or not. All right, well, anyway, that's how the dog is doing. Figured I'd throw that in there. But I had a fan blowing on me here in my eyes. It was drying out my eyeballs. And I have no doubt that that, in combination with the fan at the back of the PC that's going like great guns right now, would just make the audio quality absolutely horrendous. And I don't want that for episode 60, whether it's a short show or not. All right, I've come this far, and once again... I've not said hello to anyone. Hi. I gotta learn to write myself a little note here that says, please greet your audience. Please greet your listener. And wish them a fine and happy day. Hello. Thank you for listening. I wish you a fine and happy day. There. That's better. All right, so where do you go from here? What I need to mention, things I need to mention. This is not your regular show. This is not your standard run-of-the-mill, walking around in its street clothes, International Detective Dragons from Outer Space episode. This is one that falls on the 20s. It's episode 60. If you heard the last episode, and if you're a longtime listener of IDDFOS, you know that when I reach a 20th, a multiple of 20, I do a recap. Well, this one's going to be a recap, not just of 20 shows, but everything that came in between. So there's going to be Skype chats in there and corrugated rants and maybe a few odd things here and there. But it's not going to take quite as long as other shows, partly because that's mainly what its purpose is a kind of a roundup, a recap, a summing up, a taking stock, a navigational reorientation of the show and myself and my brain and all that kind of stuff. Not particularly useful for you, maybe not even entertaining, but, well, I don't know. I hope so. Anyway, it's something to listen to. It's still IDDFOS, and sorry it isn't 2 hours long. For those of you that really detest long shows, a bonus. So, yeah, this is not your regular show. You want to hear a regular version of IDDFOS, you'll get it and all its features if you check out the homepage and see what episodes are up with the regular questions and stuff, like 56, 57, 58, 59, or any of the other ones, whatever. Hey, continue, Anum. All right, this is going to be a brief note here. I'm gonna put this right here at the top and just read it because it's very short, but I wanted to include it because it's listener feedback. Who's it from? It's from Ben of the Absolute Peach. And Ben writes, "Hey, Anum, was listening to episode 59 when you referenced the fifth elephant. I just thought I'd drop you a line to say that I'm a huge Pratchett fan, too, and that's one of my favorite books. Ben." Thank you, Ben. See how simple it is to write in? It doesn't take pages and pages. It doesn't take a novel. It doesn't take, this is just, it's simple. Very cool. Excellent. Short, sweet, to the point, listener feedback. That's the kind of thing every podcaster wants. I mean, you know, once in a while, when we're talking about a question, sometimes you'll have a hell of a lot more to say about things that deal with many of the topics that we cover here. But this is cool. This is excellent. This is wonderful. And it reminds me to remind you that the Absolute Peach has begun again with their third season, and that you should go ahead and check them out and download them. There's going to be a link, there's already a permanent link on the IDDFOS homepage down the right-hand column to go ahead and access the Absolute Peach webpage, where you can get their RSS feed and download their shows. Very funny, very fun. Ben and Joe, making me laugh, and I hope making you laugh if you've been lucky enough to sample that show. Thank you again, Ben. Yes, obviously, I'm a huge Pratchett fan. I don't think I let many episodes go by without referencing something from one of the Terry Pratchett novels. What's next on my list? What do I need to look at? Oh, there's going to be some links, additional links in the Kutikatingatongatongs. Additional links? In addition to what? This is episode 60. There will be links for the show, episode 60. And here's what some of them are going to be. We're going great guns here down in Edison with the emptying out of this building that we're in. The end of an era, the closing of a chapter, all that kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada. I've talked about it probably, I don't know. I don't know actually how much I've talked about it, but I really like to try to keep the negativity out in the podcast anyway, as far as, you know, being out of a job, that kind of thing. The unemployment aspect of it. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about stuff that's like interesting that has to do with it. That's just, you know, we talked about liminal states. I think quite a bit of it came up. If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, the place where I work was sold 2 years ago, and then finally they decided to shut us down because they decided they didn't want to pay rent on the building that they sold, and a whole bunch of other stuff that kind of happened, like in addition to that, having to do with economics, having to do with theater, having to do with management, having to do with all kinds of stuff that I'm not going to comment on now. What I will say is, wow, what a lot of stuff. And it's really kind of difficult to give the impression to anyone of just how much was in that warehouse, because I'd say better than half of it is gone now. And that's just like, I mean, better than half of it. There's still a whole buttload of stuff still in there. How to give you an idea? Well, I'm going to put a link up to a page, two pages actually, of thumbnails. Once upon a time, in 2006, I believe it was, I went through the whole warehouse and took the clearest, most comprehensive pictures I could of the entire inventory standing back from the shelving. Now, there's aisles, of course, and in some cases you can't get a good clear picture, so I had to do some distort stuff in Photoshop to kind of like flatten them out. Well, anyway, this essentially is a picture of everything that was in there. And I don't mean like individually, I mean just there. If you walked around and you looked, that's what you would see. The machinery, the fabric, the set pieces, the props, the knickknacks, the chairs, the this, the that, the everything. From horses to hampers. Did that make any sense? Have I coined a new phrase? Oh, he'll show you everything from horses to hampers. That's a common phrase down our way. Like contrafibularities. Well, anyway, yeah, it's two pages of thumbnails of many, 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 many pictures. If you ever were at all curious, it's in a folder, by the way, that I call Pack Rat Heaven. And Pack Rat Heaven is also entitled at the top of the page. Click on the link. Check out just, like, you know, one or two of the pictures. Or scroll through all of them if you're really bored and you're eating your Wheaties and you don't feel like watching the morning news. Just shelf after shelf after shelf. Even I am astounded. And I was there. And I cataloged it, etc. Whatever. Anyway. In addition to that, just so that it's not all one-sided, just to give folks an impression of what all else is going to go away, because, well, they've referred to it as a luxury. Fair enough, you can call it a luxury if you want. For a community theater that just happens to have a space that they can put shows on in, yeah, a shop and warehouse would be a luxury. For the State Theater of New Jersey, I don't know. I tend to hold a different opinion. I don't think quite it was a luxury. But all things must end. All things change. And there'll be a very, to put it in Oriental terms, come this fall and spring, they will be living in interesting times without the shop that they've had. So anyway, yes, to keep it balance, to not to push it all over onto the inventory side, I am also going to include a link. Boy, did I say this was going to be a short show? Why do I say that? Maybe I should stop trying to, like, start at the beginning of a sentence and end at the end. And, like, maybe aim towards the middle and blast my way out towards either end. And maybe I'll get all the points across that way. The way Nanny Ogg attacks a song. Pratchett reference, of course. The other link is going to be to the build process. And now I can't quite remember whether I put this up again or not. I'm thinking maybe I did, but I'm going to put it up again. It just documents. I took all these pictures, by the way. It documents, well, except one, as you'll say it, Anim. This is pathetic. Say it. There's going to be a link in the Kudikadingadongadungs for episode 60 that will take you to page after page of image files that will show you the build process at the shop for completing a very high budget production of Meet Me in St. Louis. This, if I had the time, energy, and it wasn't so bloody hot here in Edison today, this is the point where I would put in applause for having completed a thought. Man, I should go to break already. This is how I'm taking so long. We've covered that. All right, there's going to be those two things. I'm putting them forth here because they're foremost in my mind. They're kind of what's happening in my actual real life. They don't particularly have a whole hell of a lot to do with IDD FOS. But if we're talking about roundups and sum ups and reorientation and navigation and that kind of thing, what the hell? Let's put some markers here to show what was and what will not be again for that theater, because it's all over. You may find it quite interesting, actually. If you don't click on it. There's probably other things that I should be talking about that I'm going to forget that I didn't talk about. All right, what's next? Something that I've been listening to, again, this series, a series of books, and I've been listening to them in the audible.com format, unabridged recordings of the Patrick O'Brien Aubrey Maturin series of historic novels. He wrote 20 of them. There is a 21st available that is uncompleted because of the death of Patrick O'Brien. Brilliant author, brilliant series, very, very entertaining and rich, and made all the more enjoyable by the narration of Patrick Tull, who is a performance genius, who is just an incredible talent. This is the third time around that I'm listening to all of them again, and I just gotta say, it's amazing. It's just an amazing series. I love it. And I've been drawing parallels, actually. It was funny, as I was gathering up all of the fake food from the fake food area of props and throwing it all, about $2,000 or $3,000 worth of fake food thrown into the garbage, into a dumpster. To be fair, multiple attempts were made to sell as much of the stock as possible, and quite a bit of it was sold, and people had free range grazing, picking, pawing, choosing, whatever, of all the stock, particularly the stuff down on floor level, which the food is. So if it was there, it meant that nobody wanted it. And it's still kind of a shame because quite a bit of expensive stuff got chucked. But anyway, I'm throwing this stuff away, and I was listening to one of the books in which Jack Aubrey is bemoaning the fate of the HMS Surprise, one of the ships that he sails in that's about to be essentially decommissioned, put into dry dock, set into the wrecker's yard. You know, just essentially retired, and it's either going to be dismantled or whatever. But drawing all kinds of parallels between the organization, the arts organization that is the theater that I've been working for as a whole, to a ship at sea, to a naval organization, to all the things that have to do with it, and all the parallels that came to mind leave me now. I guess you could apply the same metaphor to any kind of business, not just arts organizations. You can apply it to any hierarchical organization or process that involves a group of people over time. All right, yeah, I'm not going to go into that because that would just prolong the beginning. What are we going to hear next? We are going to hear from Andros in Florida, who has written and included images, picture files that show what he's talking about, show him and what he's talking about, which of course you also will be able to see the thumbnail versions of in the Goodikatingatongatongs for episode 60. But I'm going to get right. We're not going to cut to a break. Not going to cut to a break because I'm not going to include breaks or promos in the show. It's going to be a very different version. We're also not going to have an old-time radio snippet. I noticed, actually, when I went to look at the index page, that I haven't even made the link hot for the last old-time radio show. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. I promised the show, and it's not up there for anybody to download. So I got to fix that, too. Falling behind here. I'm being delinquent. I can't have that. I'm also derailing myself and not reading the letter from Andros. Let's read it right now. He writes, "Hi, Annam. I've been thinking, and I'd like to hear from other listeners on what they see in their mind's eye when they think of the stratospheric veranda. Me? I always think of something out of a Maxfield Parrish painting." That's pretty interesting. I don't know. Maxfield Parrish, very bold, very vivid colors. of the vast romantic vistas and epic landscapes, together with people in classic garb. So I can see that. I could understand that. I generally picture clouds and an oversized balcony that's very much like the deck of a luxury cruise liner, but there's no ocean and there's no ship underneath. And it kind of grows and shrinks as time goes on. That's a very interesting question. What do other people imagine in their mind when they think of the stratospheric veranda that moves along in the upper atmosphere and tries to get a good, wide, broad view of the big picture of what's going on down below in terms of humanity, etc.? Yes, the stratospheric veranda. Not a bad question. I'd be interested to hear that, too. He continues.
On to old business. I remember you asking about the SCA after I first wrote into IDDFOS. Did you say you went to Pensac number 15?
Yeah, I guess if it was 1985, maybe that was Pensac number 15, I guess. I'm not really sure. Does anybody remember the speech that Billy Crystal had when he was talking to his son's class? It was Bring Your Father to Work Day, What Does Your Daddy Do for a Living Day, in City Slickers. And he says, among other things, your 20s are a blur. He wasn't kidding. Well, my 20s were certainly a blur. Way too much happened for me to actually pin down dates. I'm pretty sure it was 1985 or 86. Whatever. Anyway. I'm sorry.
The event this August will be the 37th annual Pensac War. It's possible we were at the same event. I was at 4 or 5 Pensac Wars during the 80s. The Society for Creative Anachronism is an educational non-profit organization with branches all over the world. An anachronism is something that's not in its proper time. Membership isn't actually required to participate, unless you want to fight, hold office, or get awards. All participants are expected to make an attempt at pre-17th century clothing and be willing to participate in the current Middle Ages. Unlike Renaissance festivals, everyone at an SCA event is a participant. The flashy, impressive, armored combat is what most people notice first, but arts and crafts are even more important to create the atmospheric and educational goals of the organization. Where else can you find yourself standing in full armor in the cool of the morning, the smell of steel, leather, and wood smoke in the air as dozens of proud banners dance upon the rising breeze? There are thousands of men and women, your comrades, all around you. You see warriors of every age from every land. There are crusaders and cavaliers standing shoulder to shoulder with samurai and Mongols and even Romans and Greeks. Across the field, the opposing army, also 1,000 strong, forming into their battle lines. Some of those foes are people you'll find yourself with later, sitting by the fire, enjoying a mug of home brew, and recounting tales from today and long ago. All around the field are thousands of spectators, dressed in spectacular garb from every nation of almost every time, except the present. The war drums begin to pound, a sound you feel in your very bones, as arrows begin to soar toward the ranks and the command is given to charge. Information about the SCA can be found at www.sca.org. Wishing everyone a great week, Andros.
Thank you very much, Andros. And of course, that link to the SCA, I think, is somewhere on the IDDFOS page from a previous show, but of course it's going to be repeated in this show's Gudikatingatangatungs. I didn't get actually to witness the battles that were happening when I went to Pensac. I pretty much remained in and around that booth that I made. If people aren't familiar with my experience at the SCA in the 80s, I would recommend listening to Cardboard Chrysotunity. And I give a full account of what happened in that one. One of the things I also recall was, you can probably find this out by checking out the SCA information, is Do people still dress and belong to a faction in the on the Pensac site called the Tuchucks? I believe they were called the Tuchucks when I was there. I'm not sure whether they're still a part of it or not, but they represented the Barbarian Guild. A guild? Not even a guild. Segment, portion, whatever, group. The Barbarians, the fur-clad, and in some cases, pretty scantily fur-clad, barbaric forest dwellers that didn't quite participate in civilization, were on the outskirts, and camped far, far from everyone else and only visited as scouts and traders. And I think it was considered a privilege to be captured by the Tuchucks and enslaved by the Tuchuk women, who would pretty much put you to work taking the trash away from the campsite and washing clothes and doing their dishes and in general doing whatever grunt work was necessary to make life more pleasant at camp until they finally released you. Anyway, yeah, excellent. That is excellent stuff. Thank you very much, Andros. Folks, if you think that this gentleman is a peripheral witness to any of this, if you think that he's just on the outskirts and kind of knows a little sort of something about the SCA, think again and confirm for yourself that Andros is the real deal and a solid participant in what goes on there by checking out the pictures that you're going to find. He was good enough to send in not only images of himself. There's only about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 4 or 5 pictures. One of them actually is a picture of him as Tim the Enchanter that he told us about in an earlier episode. Very amusing, excellent costume. And the others are from himself at the SCA. Somewhere in there, I think probably in the notes themselves, I'm going to put a copy of the Leon Thalesius. I think that's correct. Leon Thalesius, which is Greek for Lion of the Sea, an original shield design that Andros has done and has included along with the rest of the images for completeness. Thank you very much, Andros. So, am I going to go to a break? No, like I said, not going to have a break in the show. Not even going to have a Ripley's Believe It or Not in this show. Going to go right into the roundup, sum up, change up for the episode since including and since 41. And it's just getting hotter and hotter in this room because I turned the fan off and the door is closed. All right. Actually, you know what, folks? I'm going to stop it here. Like magic, it will appear as if no time has passed, but my throat is a little bit parched, and I've got to go get something. I've got to get something to drink before I continue. Okay, I've had my coffee. I've gotten up. It was just too oppressive in here. I had to turn the fan back on. Sorry about the change in audio quality, but that can't be helped. It was just too stuffy and whatever. Going to get into it now. Here we go. The roundup, the recap, that kind of thing. Incidentally, if you hear questions connected with shows that spark any particular desire in you to write in as a response to them, you know the drill. It's perfectly valid. Please go ahead and do it. All right, post-episode 40, here we go.
The first transmission was a Skype chat. Not just any Skype chat, but the very first one. It was on June 10th of 2007. Wow, in a couple of days it'll only be a year from now. What was it? It was a Skype chat with Nev and Sarah of Does My Geek Look Big In This. A wonderful conversation. And it ranged in topics from Second Life to patio books to digital oddities. Yes, the very first Skype chat. Check out the picture of a tea house that Sarah built in the Kudikadinkadungadungs for that transmission. Next, transmission 41, on June 21st, 2007, a massively broad topic, transhumanism. It had contents that would go beyond just that episode. With current and approaching technologies, all kinds of change to the individual bodies and to the human race as a whole are possible. Will we be smart enough to change only what should be changed, or will the technology overtake our judgment? Many links for that show. Very interesting, and I believe it did reappear in other episodes as a source of conversation. The next transmission was on June 28, 2007, and it was Skype chat number 2 with none other than Dickie of the Stealth Geek podcast. And we ranged on subjects from the Toronto architecture, listen in to find out why that reference is valid, to role-playing games and moments in role-playing games, to festivals of fried foods. Transmission Skype Chat 2 with Dickie of the Stealth Geek podcast. What was next? Next transmission was episode 42, and it was on July 8th, 2007. What happened to episode 41? Oh, that was the transhuman episode. Okay. See, I'm already losing track. What did we get? We got new listener feedback from Dickie of the Stealth Geek podcast. We got from Big Jack Brass, Raphael, Cersei, and premium audio from Kurt the Camera Guy for both the opening of the show and in a topical sound clip from the future. That was a brilliant piece of work. If you're going to listen to Transmission 42, check it out, if only just for that. It was fantastic. And our topic for episode 43 was internet content, quality or crap? And that was a question prompted by the Cult of the Amateur book that we had so much fun poking fun at. So yes, Transmission 42 was a continuation of the transhumanism and personal idiosyncrasies, if anybody cared to write in about those. Next transmission was on July 14th in 2007, and that was Skype chat number 3. And it was with Mark Thayen Reed of the Groovy Gamers Groovecast. And we ranged along in that one on subjects from play by post to tabletop games to the psychology of the whole gaming world. There was a lengthy feast of ideas. Chew each bite slowly and sip some ale as you dine. I'm reading, of course, from my own show notes because I'd be lost at sea otherwise. I believe we also covered a significant portion of that show covered a game in design that Mark Reed was working on. I wonder how that is. I should find out how far along that has come. Next up was Transmission 43. That was on July 29th of 2007, and Andrew Keane wrote a little book and propped it up like an artillery target out on the firing range. It pained us to direct any further attention his way, but it was still fun to blast holes in his waddling duck of an argument. That argument being that the internet and the cult of the amateur, people putting up their and creating their own content, was destroying the culture. What a crock. And we had fun determining what a crock it was. Topic for episode 44, kind of in a way, pretty much prompted by that one, was what are the 3 worst products of the professionals that you've ever been subjected to? From movies, books, music, or even expert opinions. But we didn't get to episode 44 right away. The next transmission was on August 5th, 2007, and it was Skype chat number 4 with none other than Kurt the Camera Guy of the Wandering Geek podcast. Horrors. The horror of audio fiction we talked about. We moved on to traveling. Geek options when traveling. Vista as an operating system. Ha ha, ha ha. There was even a chipmunk rant very similar to the type of voice you're hearing right now. Very fun, very interesting, an excellent Skype chat to check out with Kurt the Camera Guy. That was Skype chat 4. The next transmission was, again, skipping right into another Skype chat. It was Skype chat number 5 on August 12th, 2007. And it was with Mick Bradley. So what do you say, Mick Bradley of the Round Table? Or Mick Bradley of Misfit Brew? Mick Bradley of the Roll Monkeys? Mick Bradley of, well, look around among gaming podcasts, and you will find Mick Bradley all over the place, which is an excellent, excellent thing. Because he never has something to say that isn't interesting. Currently, of course, Mick Bradley is of The Game That May Be. Do your best to download and check those out. They're very short, but they're very informative. So that was an excellent good time with Mick Bradley in Skype Chat 5. The next episode was, what, Transmission 44, and it was on August 26th, 2000. It was, of course, one of those post-Gen Con episodes. And the top of the show covered the cardboard adventures of yours truly. That is to say, I did the cardboard cutout of myself, 2 of them, actually. One went to Mick Bradley, one went to Kurt the Camera Guy, and the both of them did yeoman's service in bringing it to Gen Con and giving me at least a two-dimensional presence there. And I still can't thank them enough. Absolutely fantastic. The rest of the episode trotted out the true stink bombs of the entertainment industry, from films to music to publishing, and it all served to point out that the term amateur is relative. So that was episode 44. Next up, what did we get? Transmission 45. It would be 45 and 46, I think, because I went mad somehow. 45 was on September 19th. Why did I go mad? Well, I bit off a subject that was too large for me or anyone else to chew. The subject, Shakespeare. As I put in the notes, why didn't I just say, next show we're going to talk about everyone you ever met? Astounding. Though much must make this entry full of mirth, with links to witty tantalizing stuff, a heavy sleep now pulls my bones to earth, and fuzzy brain shrieks, Enum 5, enough. Well, it wasn't enough, apparently. I had to go ahead and extend it to episode 46. But before we got to episode 46, there was another Skype chat. And who was it with? It was with the Encaffeinated One of The Weird Show. A supercharged ramble across the conversational landscape. Listen in and watch the bucket of Super Balls bounce, rebounding, colliding, zigzagging, and generally celebrating variable speed cerebral chaos. Doses of homegrown Canadian humor are also served up with a wild grin. Predictable? Not. Yes, the encaffeinated one of The Weird Show. That was on September 30th of 2007, Skype Chat 6. Check it out. After that, on October 18th of 2007, Transmission 46, which is a continuation of the topic of Shakespeare in general. We got a stage dialogue that cut right to the quick, teenage temporal physics, a sadistic literary standby, Star Trek on Avon, Star Trek, I remember that. Okay, yeah, Kurt the Camera Guy's rendition of To Be or Not to Be, as done a la The Federation. very funny. Plenty of cool new stuff in that episode to round up and wrap up the Shakespeare topic in general. James Stubbs did a review of Shakespeare the Bard game. Yes, a board game based on Shakespeare. Here we go. What do we have? We had the introduction in Transmission 46 of The Reindeer Line, where you could actually call in and leave audio from your cell phone when you wanted to input into the show. Still fully active, area code 206-350-7809. 206-350-7809. The Reindeer Line. Why do we call it the Reindeer Line? Because it's fun to say, hey, call in on the Reindeer Line. And also because it was the reindeer that was the very first to use it. And I believe reminded me that such a thing was available. Next up, Transmission 47, which came out on November 4th, 2007. What was the topic for it? The topic for Transmission 47 was Life's Little Mysteries. What little nagging questions keep you wondering? Strange Gripes with Little Mystery. NM5. Here I am, describing things in the third person, reading my own notes. It's kind of silly, isn't it? I take a series of noisy van rides on a Saturday in New Jersey, or Joysy, and just went off about a whole bunch of things. I started ranting, I think. And I believe it also included feedback having to do with the topic. One thing I didn't get feedback on that I was really kind of curious about, and that is, why does time make yearbook pictures look more and more stupid as the years tick by? But that was episode 47. Next up, we had a transmission that was not episode 48. The topic for 48 was meant to be, who do you think they are? What do you think they look like? How do you suppose they spend their time? How often do you suppose they are us? So that was for episode 48, but this transmission that came out next was not show 48. It was on November 10th, 2007, and it was simply me recording my thoughts and experiences as I drove a dozen chandeliers, very small chandeliers in boxes, into Manhattan so that they could be used at a place. Well, actually, you know what? It was Lincoln Center. I might as well tell you now. During the thing, I didn't let anybody know where it was. It was Lincoln Center. And I took pictures. And those pictures are in the Goody-Ka-Ding-Ka-Dong-Ka-Dongs of my little experience there. There's a horsey in it, too. All right, that was November 10, 2007. And I think, actually, it marked a year anniversary since the meetup at the TikTok Diner. Next up. Oh, another transmission. That was still not 48. I thought there were too few shows. I thought 20 shows was a little too... not quite enough to make a year. So here are the little filler-inners that happened. I mean, aside the Skype chats, which are certainly not filler-inners, they're events in themselves, but I knew I had a couple of little side roads that I went down here that didn't qualify as episodes. Hell, this one probably counts among them. But anyway, transmission still not 48, and it was on November 25th, 2007. What did I do there? It has juggling, it has tribbles, it has small crowds of men screaming at each other, it has large crowds of men beating each other up. Shoplifting, raging storms, and warehousey-type noises. It's not nearly as exciting as the description. I talk nonstop for 2.5 hours while making kitty show scenery in order to keep my sanity at the expense of yours. Okay, that was November 25th. Transmission still not 48. Cardboard rant number 3, a corrugated chrysotunity. That's the one in which I talked about my SCA experience. So if you're interested in finding out about it, that's the one to check out. Did we actually ever get to transmission? Yes, we did. December 2nd. In 2007, transmission 48. Incidentally, let me just throw something in here that I haven't been throwing in that I kind of should. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but after, at the header of each International Detective Dragons from Outer Space episode, I put in a comment about the podcast. Here's an example. Transmission 48, December 2nd, International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, the podcast that records anytime, anywhere, by thunder. Well, that line that follows the title changes for each show. You've probably already noticed it. Why am I bothering to say that? I don't know. I actually stole that device from Mark Allen Stamati, who knows where he got it from, but he used to put that some type of comment like that after each of his comic strips when he was doing a regular strip for the Village Voice 30 years ago. The comic that, et cetera, does something or other different each time. Oh, man, I'd better move on. What was the Transmission 48 about? Well, it was about they. Well, this enlightens me a little bit. Here we go. Delayed by chest colds, weather, cardboard, chandeliers, and the great god Procrasto. Episode 48 is at long last here. The content is every bit as excellent as IDD FOS listeners have always made it. Hell, even better. Oh, that must indicate that there was quite a bit of user feedback, including the very first use of the reindeer line, 206-350-7809. That show also marked the one-year anniversary of the Stealth Geek podcast. And the topic, of course, for that show was, who do you think they are? Next up, I'm noticing that this isn't going quite nearly as fast as my last roundups, which is kind of okay, because this is going to be a short show anyway. What was next? Transmission 49 on December 16th, 2007. My friends and family have heard this 1,000 times, but it happened to me, and it's my favorite story to tell. I think that was the episode in which we found out that Kurt the camera guy was blown across the road in a truck, and James Stubbs got shot. There were, of course, other stories. Those two in particular happened to stick in my mind as I look at this. An episode rich in thought-provoking ideas and wealthy with insights and questions from you. An excellent holiday feast for the end of 2007. Dine at the table or bring your plate into the den. Just don't get hit by the Wii players. And many interesting links for this episode. All right, what's next up? That was Transmission 49. Next up would be... wait a minute. Yes, Transmission 50. And what was the question supposed to be for 50? I don't think I did one. Actually. Well, at any rate, Transmission 50 was on December 31st. Came out on New Year's Eve, of all things. IDDFOS ushers in the future with tales from the past. This New Year's Eve show is saved by the listeners, as usual, thank you, and looks forward to a frightening and exciting 2008. Thanks for staying with me this long, and I hope you'll hang around for all that's on the way. Happy New Year. What was next? Hey, what was next? Here we go. Transmission 51 on January 13th, 2008. A new podcast for a new year. What is it? What is important? That was the topic. What is important? It may depend on who you ask, what time it is, where you are, or when you are. It seems to be generally agreed upon, though, that the friends encircling you rank pretty high on the list. There were lots of different ideas and input for that one. Extremely interesting. The one that floats to the top of my mind in terms of hitting the nail on the head and getting it dead solid perfect was the response that Sarah wrote in of Does My Geek. It just was extremely concise and true. I'm going to have to... Now I want to go back and listen to episode 51 to find out all the other input. All right, that was January 13th. That was 2008. Transmission 51. What was next? Next up was 52. And what was the topic? What are your views on transitional states, life, and identities during liminal times and events? And this is one that began further parallels with The Weird Show. I think, insofar as I either subconsciously or indirectly yoinked the topic from his question of the week. So we were moving in tandem at that point. Honest to God, I didn't do it on purpose. What did we get for episode 52? Amazing cinematic history in the making, plus a fine helping of romance from Norway. Oh yeah, excellent audio input from the Norwegian Viking Mr. T. I remember that. Superb. Successful sailing on the unemployment sea. The secret is finding the right ship. Audio from the reindeer line on what's important. And traveling the rough path to a better view. Rant comparisons and fancy dress recollections. That would be the input from Sarah. Branching explorations of importance and transitions and the importance of transitions. Old accidents remain in the past. Present day colds take precedence. Cryptic notes I started to put in for some reason. I don't know why. But that was Transmission 52, February 3rd. Next, we wished a happy birthday to Kurt the Camera Guy. It was Transmission 53. That show came out on February 17th, 2008. Paintings, songs, photos. They can only capture pieces of who we are. Our identities change too often for art to fit permanently. And we got superb audio from Mr. T, a brief reading of Hosting the Casimir by C.E. Sales that Mr. T sent in as audio. Terrific stuff. A fictional mirror is based in a fantasy copper. A fictional mirror is based in a fantasy copper. Is found in a fantasy copper. Oh, Sam Vimes. I can't even interpret my own notes. What a dumbass. Why did I start doing this? Mudmen and Animals. Is it James or is it in all of us? Well-appreciated concern from NCAP1 via the reindeer line. I'm going to have to start being a little less cryptic with my notes here. Or maybe I should just leave it that way to keep myself curious about what went on in some of these older shows. Well, that was Transmission 53, and that was February 17th. We're getting close to the end now, obviously, folks. I mean, this is 60. Not long to go. What was the next one? The next one was Transmission 54, and that was on March 2nd, 2008. Ah, what painting, photograph, or song most completely describes who you are? And for 54, it was expanded to include books, characters, and films. Basically trying to pick three works of art that best identify you. And that was episode 54 on March 2nd, 2008. After that, on March 7th, 2008, released Skype Chat number 7, and it was with George Robb of the Geologic Podcast. the Geologic Podcast. It was fascinating, fun, and fast. I'll never get tired of saying that again and again and again. Yes, we talked about Stan Freberg, of course. It was with George Robb. And we moved on to James Burke. We talked about the amazing meeting, which is happening, I guess, like, imminently soon as of this recording. Went on to digital music. It was just an incredible Skype chat. Lots of fun. And, of course, very much indebted to George Robb for joining us for a terrific show. Next up was March 23rd, Transmission 55. If you could sit down for dinner and have a conversation with anyone alive today, who would it be? In retrospect, I'm kind of disappointed in myself for saying that whoever it was had to be alive. I really should have said anyone from history. And we got some excellent feedback on that. Judging by the gutting-a-tong-a-tongs that I'm looking at here, we got quite a bit of feedback on that. Oh, is that the episode that I started talking about my cat doing its business under my desk? I'm sorry about that. All right, that was on March 23rd that I talked about cat poo instead of getting onto the good stuff, which was listener feedback in abundance. All right, what was next up after that? Next up after that was Transmission 56 on April 7th, 2008. Money. Is it a tool for civilized trade, a method to allow individual and group specialization, or the dominant religion of the Earth? Or is it a monster that will eat humanity? That was the topic for episode 56. Episode 57 was on April 27th, 2008. And it was Money Part 2, because, of course, money is a very huge, vast topic. And I referred to money as a shape-shifting tool that is only as safe as the humans using it. You can get a full recap of all of this stuff that I'm doing now simply by going to the IDDFOS homepage, available easily through www.anim5.com. In the gooditongatongatongs for that show, I included some image files that you can click on to show the desolation of the vast complex that I work at. Essentially, we've all referred to it as being alive and performing an autopsy on ourselves. Well, at any rate, there again, for this episode, there was a fantastic volume of listener input. I know that because I wrote it down here. And that was on April 27th for Transmission 57. Coming up on the home stretch here, folks, it's Transmission 58. If you could be transformed into an immortal digital version of yourself, a nanotech cyborg, would you? And if the procedure became available worldwide, how would you solve the resulting overpopulation problems? That was the topic for episode 58, and that was on May 11th, 2008. What was last? Transmission 59, which was on May 26th, 2008. And it asked the question, does the educational infrastructure of the world need an overhaul for the 21st century? And which brings us up to the present, and that would be episode 60, and that would be me talking right now like a chipmunk, and so I'm going to stop. Thank you very much for hearing this roundup and recap of the past episodes, well, the past 20 episodes, along with the little side trips, and of course, those audio events known as Skype chats, which I hope to continue very soon with number 8.
All right, then. Does that bring us to the final complete and ending close of episode 60? In a way, kind of, sorty, yes. What are we going to have next? Are we going to have closing music for this show? No, I don't think we're going to. We are not going to have closing music for this show, but I am going to play a piece that many people have probably already heard already. And I apologize particularly to For the Horde Radio listeners that may be checking out IDDFOS for the first time, especially, because you've heard this already recently. It's only 7 minutes long. It's like 7 minutes and 30 seconds, something like that. It's a bit. It's a skit. It's one of those audio candy things where Adam 5 pretends. I made mention of it in the last show. Essentially, it's me portraying two non-player characters, two of the automated programmed cartoons that you run into in World of Warcraft, although it would apply, I think, to any MMO. The name of the piece is called A Couple of Characters, Non-Player. So in lieu of closing music, I'm going to play that, and after that, I will say my goodbyes. Hope you enjoy this.
It seemed to bother most of the other guys, but honestly, it was driving me nuts. I mean, all they had me doing was beating a hammer on some weird-looking cannon thing and turning around and walking away from it, standing there for a second, and then walking back to beat on the cannon again. It was the stupidest thing. Can you believe that? I mean, how stupid is that?
Sounds like a real pain, yeah.
Well, after 4 weeks of doing that 24/7, I had to get out of it. I was begging for a change.
Well, you can't beat this gig. This one is really sweet.
Yeah?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, look at this. We've got shade, no sun in the eyes. Later on, when it gets really dark, we've still got the big yellow things over our heads. Lights up the whole area. You don't need a torch, you know, so you can read, you can play cards, whatever. In fact, if you wanted to, you could...
Dude, player.
Oh, crap, right. Okay. Okay, check this out.
Greetings, Leet Boy 22. You look to be a very powerful warrior. Perhaps you can assist me. My brother is soon to be married, and I wish to make him the ceremonial gown of beer drinking and lounging about doing nothing for after his honeymoon. To do so, I must have 12 feathers from the Ojibwa ear-biter bird that makes its nest in the distant valley known as Mixia's Pidlix. You will find it somewhere north on this continent. But beware, my friend. That valley is sometimes guarded by the roaming packs of Pelioractijobus scytamentos. Green ones. And they bite hard. Bring me those Ojibwa feathers, and I will reward you with your choice of the following. The leather bracers of intense bladder control, the quarterstaff of Dixie whistling, or the crumbling greatsword of annoyance, and 14 copper. Go, my friend, and may success climb up onto your shoulder and crap down your back.
Geez, you really do that well.
Thanks. It's easy, really. I mean, I've had months of saying it 100 times a day to get it right. You'll be just as good in no time.
Oh, I don't know, man. I never used to talk to players.
What?
I get kind of nervous.
What's to be nervous about? Just remember, they need you. You don't need them. Ah, here we go. This one's yours.
Whew. Okay, here goes. Well met, Rapidude. Have you seen my book of warding anchor? I lost it in the swamp. Bring me the book, and I will reward you with... What was that?
Relax.
You didn't listen to a word I said, son of a...
Buddy, it's gonna happen all the time. It happens to me, too. More than half these guys don't give a crap what you had to say. They just show up, they get the quest, and they come back when it's done.
Well, that just bites. I mean, I rehearsed that thing this morning for 3 hours.
I know.
Bites.
Look at the bright side.
Bright side?
Yeah. Standing here 24/7 and not moving can really suck, but believe it or not, there's a bright side.
Well, what kind of thing is it with it? I mean, they don't even look at you. They got nothing to say. The women don't even smile at you. All of them, they just run up, they take a job, and then they run off when... What? What? Why are you smiling? What?
You get to jerk these people around something fierce.
Yeah?
It's the truth. I mean, look at this guy coming down the road. Here, check this out. I sent him off for those idiotic bird feathers 2 hours ago. He probably spent the first hour just finding that valley... And then another hour killing about 60 of those birds just to get a dozen feathers to bring them back here. And in the meantime, he got his ass kicked twice by those Pelioractijobus scytamentos. Watch this.
Back so soon?
Shh, quiet, quiet.
And successful. Thank the gods that a warlock of your magnificence came to my aid.
Quiet, quiet.
Perhaps you would be willing to prove yourself even more valuable to the cause. I am something of a naturalist, and have studied the fragile and delicate ecosystem of that valley. And many have remarked that there is something wrong with the fierce and deadly Pelioractijobus scytamentos. Their numbers are dropping, and it is the wish of the gods that they be protected and allowed to flourish. I may be able to find out what's wrong with them if I study their spines. We must save those poor creatures. Can you return to Mixius Pidlix Valley and obtain 8 of their spines for me? I will reward you with your choice of the corrugated shield of nastiness, the wooden dagger of mud picking, or the bubble-blowing mace of lunacy, and 14 copper. Thank you, Warlock. You are a true friend and great adventurer.
Did you see the look on his face? When I told him he had to go back to the valley?
And he does it.
I thought he was going to take it.
He gets back on his horse and goes back. And the stupidest thing is...
What?
The quest. The quest doesn't make any sense.
Tell me about it. We must save these animals. Go and bring me their spines. And you know what else? You know what else? Listen. He's going to have to wipe out like 80 of those suckers before he even gets one spine. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. Well, that's not the best part.
It's not?
No. Guess what's the best part?
Come on.
Check out your script.
Huh? Where?
Check out your script. After the book thing. Look down. You get to send him back to get 20 of their tails.
Priceless. Oh, man.
You do this long enough, you get a pretty good idea just how stupid they can be. They'll do any damn thing you tell them. And the stuff we're giving out for it is total crap.
Okay, I get it now. I get it for sure. This gig rocks. You want another beer?
Oh, yeah.
So what is that peely dingo thing?
Peleoractojobiscaidamento?
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue.
You don't even know what the thing looks
like. Man, I wouldn't know one if it was chewing on my privates. Who cares?
All right, folks, there it is, episode 60, very much like episode 20 and episode 40. I don't know, I think 40 was probably a bit longer than this one. I really kind of didn't go very far with a lot of material for this show, but it's okay, because now it's time to ask the question for episode 61. And I kind of thought about this one for a while. The question for episode 61 is...
Given the ability to replace whatever is being displayed on every billboard in the world, automatically having it translated to the local language, what sentence, two sentences, or three sentences would you write that people writing, walking, or driving by could see?
And we're talking every billboard on earth in every country that's by the side of every road. Metaphysical fantasy? Yes. Physically not possible? No, actually. It really could be done. It is not in the realm of physical impossibility. Extremely improbable. Expensive beyond all belief, but not physically impossible. So if you had one sentence, two sentences, or three sentences to place that could be easily read on every billboard you see and everyone else sees in every country on earth where billboards are used, what would you write? You don't have to do three sentences. You could do one, you could do two, but no more than three, because people have to be able to read the three things you have to say as they're driving by. Arguably, if it's every billboard, then they don't have to try that hard because they'll just see it again in a minute, particularly if they drive around in an urban area. What's an example? Let's see. What would I put off the top of my head? If it's every billboard on earth, it's certainly going to make the news. And it would be read books, make friends, question authority. No sleepies mattress ads, no car dealership, jewelry dealership, real estate ads, jeans commercials, nothing like that. We're talking every billboard on earth. The message is certainly going to get across. What would you write? So we have reached the end of the Roundup Recap Episode 60 for International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. Again, as I said, if you're interested in the questions from earlier, if you're a new listener and you're interested in the questions from earlier episodes, which of course are always completely valid to write in about, you can find their links on the homepage of IDDFOS. under the archived episodes, right underneath the banner, you're going to find actually that transmission 60 will be the only listing on the index page for IDDFOS, and that these past episodes I've just been talking about are going to be archived. So check out the earlier ones, see what those questions are, if you're interested in finding out about that and what we've been talking about all these past 2 years. I can't thank you guys enough. I really can't. I mean, the fact that you've made the show, essentially. You guys have made the show. Your input, your interest, the things that have resulted from the show and the things that have influenced what direction IDDFOS has gone in, has just been an amazing experience for me. It isn't always easy to get out the show, but it's always been more than worth it. And I got to thank you all again. It's going to be a very interesting 2008. And I hope you'll continue the ride at least for another 20 shows just to see what happens. If there are going to be any kind of a change, if there's going to be any changes or anything like that, I can't see anything really drastic going on in terms of massive changes to the show. I can only hope that I'm as lucky as I've been so far as user input. It's great to hear from the new folks that we've heard from recently. Please continue. And it's always been great to hear from the longtime listeners that have always written in and been superbly supportive of the show. Thank you all very much again. And I hope you'll join us for episode 61. That, of course, will be the episode in which I explain why the podcast is called International Detective Dragons from Outer Space. But until then, I hope everything goes very well for you. And until then, best of days.
International Detective Dragons from Outer Space.